accepted Swan and Sindhu, rejected Blade and Mather.
You two have plenty to do here.
Three of them in a boat. Croker rowed. The others did not know how. Sindhu sat in the stern, Swan in the bow. Croker did not want the wide man behind him. That might not be wise. The man had a sinister air and did not act friendly. He was biding his time while he made up his mind about something. Croker did not want to be looking the wrong way when that happened. Halfway across, Swan asked, "It's serious between you and Lady?" He chose Rosian, the language of his youth. Croker spoke the tongue, though he had not used it for years.
"It is on my side. I can't say for her." "Why?"
"I don't want to stick my hand in where I'm going to get it bit off."
"I don't bite, and I don't tell her what to do."
"Yeah, it was nice to dream about. I figure she'll forget I'm alive as soon as she hears you still are." Croker smiled, pleased.
"Can you tell me anything about this human stump back here? I don't like his looks."
Swan talked for the rest of their passage, evolving complex circumlocutions to get around non-Rosian words Sindhu would recognize.
"Worse than I thought,"
Croker said as the boat reached the city wall, where part had collapsed and left a gap through which the lake poked a finger. Swan tossed the painter to a Taglian soldier who looked like he had not eaten for a week. He left the boat. Croker followed. Sindhu followed him. Croker noted that Swan placed himself so he could watch Sindhu. The soldier tied the boat up, beckoned. They followed. He led them to the top of the west wall, which was wide and unbroken. Croker stared at the city. It was nothing like it had been. It had become a thousand drunken islands. A big island marked its heart, the citadel where they had dispatched Storm Shadow and Shapeshifter. The nearer islands sprouted spectators. He recognized faces, waved. Ragged at first, beginning with the survivor Non-Nar he had brought to Taglios, a cheer spread rapidly. The Taglian troops raised their Liberator hail. Swan said, "I think they're glad to see you."
"From the looks of the place, they'd cheer anybody who might get them out."
Streets had become deep canals. The survivors had adapted by building rafts. Croker doubted anyone traveled much, though. The canals were choked with corpses. The smell of death was oppressive. Plague and a madman tormented the city, and there was nowhere to dispose of bodies. Mogaba and his Nar came marching around the curve of the wall, clad in all their finery.
"Here we go,"
Croker said. The cheering continued. One raft, almost awash under the weight of old comrades, began laboring toward the wall. Mogaba halted 40 feet away. He stared, his face and eyes smoldering ice.
"Say me a prayer, Swan."
Croker moved to meet the man who wanted so badly to be his successor. He wondered if he would have to play this out again with Lady, assuming he survived this round. Mogaba moved to meet him, taking stride for stride. They stopped a yard apart.
"You've done wonders with nothing,"
Croker said. He rested his right hand upon Mogaba's left shoulder. Sudden silence gripped the city. 10,000 eyes watched, native and soldier alike, knowing how much